Let's open up our Bibles to Acts chapter number 1, and as you turn there, I want to say thank you for this opportunity, Pastor, and also want to just say thank you for your investment in my life, and this weekend of an alumni weekend, I want to say thank you for those that invested in our lives, and what a blessing it is, and I hope this weekend is an encouragement, a help to you. To realize there's something to keep going for because of what God has done through you in the past, and we look forward to what he's going to do in the days ahead. So thank you, Falls Baptist Church, for your part in that. You've had a huge part in that, so thank you. But we want to continue to look to what the Lord wants to do in our lives in the days ahead. So we turn to Acts chapter number 1, and really this is born out of some things that God's doing in our own church. Began preaching through the book of Acts, and God has blessed that study. And I want to look at Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 26, where it says, "And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." I want to talk to you this morning about this man that took Judas's place. I don't know if you've ever thought about him or considered him before, but he's an interesting character. We don't know a whole lot about him, but he's someone that we ought to consider, even on this special Sunday, and consider about how God would use our lives in the days ahead. You know, you think about Judas, he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier in this passage, Peter simply says this, that he was guide to them that took Jesus. That was pretty kind words for what he did. In all reality, Judas was a little bit of a, it's hard to describe him. He was just not a nice guy at all. But the fact is, we come to this passage of Scripture and we find that the early church is trying to discover who's going to take his place. Who is this man that's going to fill the space of Judas? And though Judas, through betrayal, left a gap in the church of God, this church that was forming and waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit, today, through disobedience, through distraction, through other priorities, there's still gaps that are left inside the church of God. There's still gaps that are left in the mission of God. And I'd like to propose to you today that we need more people like Matthiases. We need more individuals that will fill a gap and will stand up and be ready to serve. And what kind of person was he? I want you to notice in verse number 15, first of all, that he was a disciple today. This is something we all can be. But he was a disciple. The Bible says in verse number 15, if you look at it with me, in those days, Peter, not as the first pope, but as a leader of the church, stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. So there was more than the apostles gathered together. There was this group of disciples that were gathered. Inside of that mix was this man, Matthias. Called by God, and as a disciple. What is a disciple? He is a person who is a committed follower of Jesus Christ. We're talking today, we talked about the V generation, Brother Bobby mentioned that in Sunday school. We're talking about total surrender. That's what a disciple is, someone who has committed their life in a consistent, real, practical way to be a follower of Jesus Christ in their everyday life and their habits. Verse 21, he was to be a disciple, and notice it says, wherefore these men, as they thought about who would fill the spot, these men which have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he, Jesus, was taken up, must one be ordained to be witness with us of his resurrection. So notice that all the time that Jesus was in his earthly ministry, this man quietly in the background, Matthias, was following along, listening to the preaching of Jesus, perhaps accompanying some of the other apostles on their preaching journeys, but he was just there. We don't know about him until here, but he was just there. He was just a disciple. He was just someone who was following Jesus. He wasn't making any waves. He wasn't known for anything. He was just simply a follower of Jesus Christ from the baptism all the way to the ascension. He was not even called to be one of the 12. He was just a disciple. Someone who is a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't feel like you add much to this church family. If you're a disciple, you add everything. And friends, it is the most important thing in our lives to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ in this non-committal generation where we're consumed with our convenience. We're consumed with our comforts. If it makes me comfortable, I will do this. Pastor preaches a message. If it makes me feel good, if it fits into my schedule, I will do this. How about let's be consumed as a Matthias was with a life that lays down everything else and follows Jesus Christ, the crucified life, the life that Jesus Christ calls us to as his children. Mark 8:34, when he said to those people that believed on him, his disciples, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Friends, that's not the American lifestyle. It's very different from the American lifestyle. Other countries know about that type of lifestyle. We've Americanized Christianity. And friends, we need to realize that Jesus calls us out of that and often calls us to be very countercultural. He's calling us to be committed followers of Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you, who are alumni and who are faithful members of the church, it was a blessing to see. There are still some faithful people in the choir. They're singing when I was here back in 2000. I graduated in 2007. It's a blessing to see that. Keep on being a disciple. Keep on going to Sunday school class. Keep on learning. Keep opening up your Bibles when the pastor stands up to preach. Look into the Word of God. Don't keep a closed Bible. Be a learner of Jesus Christ. He was a disciple. Notice he was a seeker. Verse 15. They're gathered there in that upper room. 120 of them along with the apostles. Why were they there? Because Jesus said in verse number 4, Acts 1, and being assembled together, he commanded them that they should not depart out of Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which we understand is the promise of the Holy Spirit, who would come to indwell us. Isn't that a great promise? Man, they waited for it. They were in Jerusalem. Luke tells us that they were going about Jerusalem as they're waiting for this promise. They're waiting for this, and they're excited. They're blessing God. They're going all about Jerusalem. They weren't going around with frowns on their faces. They were the happiest people in Jerusalem as they were waiting for the promise of the Spirit of God. Same indwelling Spirit of God would be the one that we understand who fills us, can control us. We allow him to have every part of us. We're fully surrendered, fully committed to him. He gives us the power to fulfill Christ's mission in the world, Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Friends, what a blessing that is. And they were waiting for that. And without that promise, they understood they were had. Jesus made a priority. You go to Jerusalem, you wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, and when I come, then you'll have power. Before I come, you will not have power to do my mission. It's an impossible task. Friends, as we look forward to ministering the days ahead in America, it's an impossible task. But the fact is, with the power of the Holy Spirit and seeking the power of the Holy Spirit, we do have the power to do all that he's called us to do. Now, these two things, being a disciple and being a seeker of the Holy Spirit and the seeker of the power, bending his knee with the rest of the disciples and the people gathered there, seeking for him to come in his fullness, was what set Matthias up to be the last descriptor that I'll give you this morning. And he was a gap filler. Friends, he was a gap filler. He was one that was serving. He was one that was right alongside learning of Jesus, growing personally, seeking the promise of the Holy Spirit. But now we see in verse number 3, would you look at it with me? And they appointed two. So they've laid a foundation from the Word of God, from the book of Psalms, that there needed to be another one to fill this place. Jesus knew how many needed to be called to turn the world upside down at that point. He calls 12. Now there's one missing. We need one more. And so they go back to the Bible. They place faith in the Word of God, and then they go forward. So we find here in verse number 23, and they appointed two, Joseph and Matthias, and they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen. So notice, they had a proposal, and then they took it to the Lord. Isn't that a good idea? They had a proposal, they had an idea, they had a strategy, they had a plan, and then they took it to the Lord. Wouldn't we do very well to practice that in our churches today? And so he continues on in verse number 25, and that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he may go to his own place. They gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. And so we have a man here who was chosen by the apostles, but more importantly, was chosen by God. He was a man who God saw his heart, and God deemed, though we don't know anything more about him, God deemed, that's a man who's a man of integrity, a man who is a true servant of mine. A true disciple. And so God puts him in that position. It's amazing. Later on in Acts chapter 6, as the Holy Spirit narrates the book of Acts, in verse number 2, we find that it says, Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. It wasn't that they weren't willing to. They had higher priorities. There was a greater yes burning inside of them. And they said, We need some deacons to help out. So we see the church beginning to take shape as deacons were formed. But do you know who was in that group? Matthias. You know what Matthias was doing? Prioritizing prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer and ministry of the word. You know what Matthias was? He was a gap filler. He was a man who had allowed himself to follow after Jesus year after year, not with any limelight on him. He was just following Jesus, and now we see him right along with the other 12 preaching the word of God and bending down in prayer, seeking the promise of the Holy Spirit, but seeking now the filling of the Holy Spirit. He was ready and willing to serve, and he was doing that. And we find him there in Acts 6 just continuing on. We need people like him. We need people who will say, I'll just serve. I don't have to have a title. I'll just serve. This is a really exciting weekend for our church back in Ohio. We're 30 days out from being a part of seeing a church planted in the inner city of Dayton. We're not mothering the church. It's a church out of North Carolina that's mothering the church, but we've been affectionately titled the surrogate mother. We're coming alongside, and we're enjoying just having a small part, along with other churches in the Dayton area, of seeing this church planted. But as I was talking to the pastor, the pastor-to-be, his name is Pete Davison, and I was talking to him, and he was telling me, hey, I have a family that's relocating their family here just to be a part of the church. I said, boy, that's wonderful. He says, you know what they've told me several times? He says, we're not coming for a paycheck. We're not coming for anything. We're going to work a job, but we're just coming to serve. We're just coming to serve. That's a Matthias right there. That's a gap filler right there. And I ask, where are those of our generation who are 20 and 30 who are willing to seek the ministry not for a paycheck and not for a position and not for popularity and not to be pampered and not to seek after pragmatism and all sorts of different worldly ideas in order to fulfill the mission of Christ? Where are the young people who say, I'll seek the promise of the Holy Spirit. I'll seek his filling. I'll seek after Christ. I'll seek to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ so that I might fulfill the mission, so that might be a gap filler. You know, there's a need today. I think churches need help. When you look at the statistics across their country, 85% of churches are 200 and less. That means they need help. They need encouragement. Some pastors need encouragement. Some young men need to be willing to be bivocational as they go into the ministry. Some young men need to say, hey, I'll be a helper alongside of a pastor, but I'm going to help see the soul winning program go forward. I'm going to help fulfill the pastor's vision. I think of our own city, Kettering, Ohio, suburb of Dayton. 51% of our city is completely unaffiliated with church. That means every other person that you meet doesn't have a church home. Wow. 39% of our city is Catholic. It's been titled the Little Vatican, but in speaking with the public school principal, one of the most astounding statistics is the fact the second spoken language in our high school is, what do you think? No, Arabic. Friends, our city is a battleground for Christianity. In the years ahead, if God doesn't do something marvelous in the area of Dayton, it's going to be a Muslim-overrun area. We need helpers to come along and say, hey, I'll plant another church in one of the suburbs. I'll witness. I'll start to learn Arabic and work along so that I might see God work in an amazing way there. We need to see church planting not only in the Midwest, but in many areas across our nation. I think of our own city, the greater Dayton area. It's known for innovation, the Wright brothers, and known for NCR, National Cash Register, and known for the starter in your car. When you go out and start your car, thank Dayton. 2017 became known as the overdose capital of the nation. Friends, our morgues are full. Would to God there be some people who say, you know what? Start an RU down there. Our church is praying about that right now. Manpower. Reformers unanimous need to be started all over. Think of the fallout from the opioid crisis, not just there, but across our nation. Children, more children in foster care, families in turmoil, struggling relationships, depleted workforce, fatigued first responders. Oh, here we go again. It means in the public schools, there needs to be mentors. Just met with three counselors in one of our middle schools, have the opportunity to become a mentor in the middle school. You know what they said? Three lady counselors. We need guys. We're glad you're a pastor. You come. We'll use you. We need chaplains in our police and fire departments. The mission field's full, but I'm reminded that the world is coming to our borders to get educated. It was nearly 80% of the world heads of states have at one time studied in America, friends. We have the opportunity. We might go there and get put in jail, but we come here and we can preach the gospel to them. We need ASL, English as a second language classes, and the needs go on and on. I think of what we're doing even in the area of missions. Most of our concentrated effort is going, 99% of the missionaries that go out to the 44% that have already had some sort of gospel witness. But what about the 55% of the rest of the world that needs the gospel and it's only 0.0005? They'll choose to relocate to those areas. We need missionaries. I was going soul winning with one of our new Christians. He was saved out of Catholicism, gloriously saved. He's 3 years old in the faith. He's already preached a message. Passionate about soul winning. Going out, knocking on doors. Said, you know, how is it that we're going to get the gospel to every door in our city this year? And his statement was this, Pastor, we need more laborers. We need more laborers. My passion and burden in coming here this morning is Jesus told me and you to pray for laborers. I hope that God's touching one heart, two hearts in here. And in all honesty, preaching for laborers. We need more laborers. We need more Matthiases. We need gap fillers. I wonder if you'll be a gap filler. You're an alumni? Great. Graduated from Bible college. Are you filling a gap somewhere? Filling a gap? Where do you need to be? Where do you need to go this year? And I'd say to us as alumni, we need to be gap fillers like Matthias. Content to be in the background, not to have a position, paycheck, whatever it is. Prayer, study the word. But then we need more gap fillers. You who are in the college right now, be a gap filler. Be like Matthias. May God shake this generation for him in our cities. Let's pray. Father, we do just ask you, and I implore you, today you told me to pray for laborers. Lord, so right now I'm praying for laborers out of this congregation. I pray that there would be young men, young women, older folks, Lord, that maybe in their retirement years, that need to step into a gap. Lord, I ask that by your Holy Spirit that you would call them, that you would convince them of the need. God, may there be some gaps filled even this week and even today. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.